So then we come to the larger question, why should the river flow? Because we know that all these years, this is something which we have been always arguing with the government. For the government, it is two things. One is, what is flowing this waste to the sea? So every drop has to be used for humans. And it's only for the humans, okay, not for anybody else. Water is only for the human use, and it is only for us, and thus the world starts from us, emptiness. That's how we look at it. Elephants don't matter, the butterflies don't matter, the beans or the chapoorees don't matter at all. So, but, and secondly, but according to us, I mean, a lot of us believe that a river is much more than water that is flowing waste to the sea. That's how we look at it. Because for us, a river itself is an ecosystem. I think this is the most important aspect which we who are, I mean, many of us who are sitting here working on rivers should now start projecting that. A river is not, we should move away from the techno-centric viewpoint of, the engineering viewpoint of, a river is something that can, how much of water you extract, how much of you bend or twist your river, nothing is going to happen to it. It will again, it will go on doing what it has. But in the Western Ghats, many of the rivers are not delivering the results. Neither the dams are performing, nor the river is in the sea. And all sorts of complications are happening. So the main reason is because we have been ignoring all these years that river is an ecosystem in itself. And it is the most important ecosystem which connects all the ecosystems. Right from the forest, for example, in the Himalayas, it's a glacial ecosystem. But here you have, in the Western Ghats, you have the forest ecosystem, the rainforest. Because we are closer to the tropics. So what happens is, here, right from the forest, which itself is an ecosystem, the river is the only ecosystem in the world, anywhere you go, which connects all the different ecosystems, right from the forest, mangroves, I'm sorry, the riparian ecosystems, to the floodplains, to the mangroves, to the deltas, to the estuaries, to the backwaters. So these are all small ecosystems in themselves. And these flows, right from the source to the sea, are the only ones which connect all of them. And we all know that flows have, and we all know that we can create, well, not even a drop of rain, we do a rainwater recharge, we can't create a drop of rain, and how can we create or recreate a river? It's humanly impossible. Because a river has an ecological and evolutionary function to perform, and we as humans have been using this as these evolutionary ecological functions that are performed by a river, we have been using this for our own benefit. Because a river, because of the flows and the constant corrosion that's happening, the constant reaction between the soil, the sand and the water and the sediments and the weather and the climate, all these together are creating all these nutrients and sediments for us, which are creating good niches for the fisheries to survive and through which we are living. So we are all connected to the flows in one way or the other. But are we looking at a river in that manner? For the last 60 years, in the dams scenario, in the dams discourse scenario, we have never been looking at a river in that way. We are only looking at a river as water. Water alone. But water itself is a living entity. So that is, I think, that's very important for us. I'm not just going to, because this list is something which any of you can get from anywhere. But the most important thing is, are we looking at a river in that manner? I think that we should start looking at a river that, then it becomes very automatically very easy for us that a river has to flow. For example, just taking a very small example, because in the Himalayas we know that the small flowing streams, which later join some larger river, Gharats, it's flour mills which are run using flowing river water. Because how people living in different river ecosystems have adapted themselves to the different niches provided by the river. This is something which is not found in the Western Ghats. In the Western Ghats, you'll find something else. People living high up in 2000 meters in Munnar area and all, or in the, they use bamboo. The bamboo is used for transporting water because they do not have pipelines. So water is transported and the same water goes for irrigation, again recycling. In Karnataka and in Kasaragod districts in Kerala, you have these surangams. Surangams where the water, it flows through, these are all underground tunnels through which water is drawn, used for irrigation, for drinking, it also is used by animals. So this is how people have been, we have been observing our rivers, we have been trying to adapt them, so it's sort of, it's adaptive management is something we have been doing for so many millennia. But now, actually dams and that and the related regulations have changed everything. I'm just browsing through this because Professor Goswami has already spoken about what flows, I mean different flows have got different functions. I think it's very important because tomorrow, groups sitting over here, when you're going to fight, I mean when government is bringing about certain percentages, 20%, 30%, how can we challenge it? Unless we know what is the flow required in our river. So this is very important. High flows, what is high flow important for? What is moderate flows important for? and what is low flow, so base flows are important for. Because very important is that, like Professor Goswami is saying, water quality maintenance, which is very important, which can always, throughout the year, we need good quality of drinking water, that is good quality of fresh water, which is provided by rivers. And because the use of the river by local people is not more during floods, but when the river flows in summer, then the river gives good clean water, for which low flows are necessary. I'm just pointing one single example. Now this is just an example. This is a river in which we are working. This is a river, this is a very famous waterfalls in that river. This is the scenario you would see in monsoon. But in summer you will see this waterfalls would have transformed to three different, it will become into three, just like the Jog Falls, into three arms. And now what's happening is, because of the already existing dams, in extreme summer, out of the three, two disappear and only one remains. And we argued that if one more dam comes, then the same fate like what happened to Jog Falls will happen to the Attrappally waterfalls also. But I'm saying the river has many other values. And you know, 8 to 9 lakh tourists visit this single waterfalls every year. So this is another value addition to the river. So now this brings us down to what is environment flows. Because, I mean, we have been all talking about the river from our own perspective, but ideally I would say that all the water in the river is the rivers. Not the rivers, but the river has the right to it. But like in reality, actually what's happening is we have been using the rivers, there's no pristine river left, and very few stretches of pristine rivers, if at all is there. But so in reality, what is environmental flows? It's actually the flow that has to be left in the river, because if the river has to complete the hydrological cycle, because in school we have been studying hydrological cycle, but because of dams and such regulations, the hydrological cycle is not broken. I know I'm not going to explain going into detail and all that. And very important is that because the hydrological regime is very important for the different types of ecological process. During which season the fish will migrate, during which season which fish you will find in them, which stretch in the rivers and pools, what type of fish you find. The rivers and pools will be dry when the flow is very low, the rivers and pools will be dry. So many conductivities are there. So various ecological processes, for that the river requires has to maintain hydrological regime. And to enable all the beings, it's very important, it's not only for humans, to including humans to benefit from the ecosystem services and the values like those waterfalls and everything that are provided by the river and its flows. Now actually a river means its flows. But now, in the present scenario, we are forced to add river and its flows. Because nobody otherwise river will be taken as just a drain. Towards the entire river stretch up to 100 kilometers. It's actually part of demystifying the technical domain of environmental flows. Because environmental flows is something which is now within some experts. I mean, where the communities or the directly river dependent communities are away from it. So it's very important that people, the communities who are directly going to be affected tomorrow by dams, they participate in the process. They become aware of why flows are needed and what is environmental flows. And it's also very important, and very important is, it's a tool to decide the ecological limits to hydrological alteration. How many dams can be built? It's very important. Can we go on building dams in a river? Any river has a carrying capacity beyond which the river becomes almost dead. Ecologically dead and hydrologically dead. So what is that limit? What is the ecological limit? Beyond which the river cannot take in any more dams or alterations. But environmental flows is very important for deciding this. So lastly, it's very important, Dr. Biswas and me were talking about this early in the morning. Can we inspire our river communities to make their own assessment of the river health? And what is the environmental flows requirement? So this is very important for us tomorrow to challenge the arbitrary figures that will be brought out by the government agencies. But what is the condition of the river that we are looking forward to? What is the best flow regime that we are visualizing? What type of flows we need in summer? What type of flows do we need during the rain season and during the flood season? So what are we looking at? Because this will depend upon what are the needs. For example, a river in the Western Ghats, what are all the needs would be different from the river in Himalayas? Of course, certain needs are common, but doesn't is especially different in different rivers. The extent, for example, Damodar River or some rivers have a lot of industries in them, whereas some rivers could have more dams in them. So the issues are different there. So then what happens is you also bring in many other issues in the ecological needs of the river. But I'm not going into that because today we are focusing more on the dams. And who will decide? Now, as I told earlier, now the decisions are being made by the environment and the EIA agencies like MAPCOS, or AHEC, etc., etc. They are making the decisions that this much flow is enough for the river. But according to me, and not according to us, actually how much flows are required by a river is not a decision that can be taken only by the government or the project developers. It's something which has to be taken by the communities who are directly depending on the river, or by the panchayats, or by the villages, depending upon what sort of governance system you have in a state. These all have a role over here. And for example, take the Western Ghats, we have this concept of sacred groves in the Western Ghats. And this is actually the origin of 3 or 4 springs. And this will later join some river. It's sacred grove, it is protected because it's a sacred grove. So do we, tomorrow, if we make a decision to build a dam upstream of this, then what is the, so then what do we need the flows for? So do we need the flows for maintaining the sacred grove as a cultural space, as a spiritual space, then we cannot have that dam. I'm just giving an example. What's the objective of setting e-flows? This is a very small example. You can have so many objectives based on which we decide. Is it for the fishing that we need it, for the breeding of the fish, or for the floodplains, or for maintenance of the river islands, or maintenance of the riparian ecosystem, or for good quality drinking water? All this, or it's a combination of all this, because this is very important. And now presently, the government, in the MOEF, mostly they are using an ecological management class. I'm not going too much into the objectives because and the methodology part of it, because Suresh will be dealing more into the common methodology that is being used in India on the building block methodology. But just I would like to focus on this, especially because of the Lohit Basin issue. Because the ecological management class of the river is being used as an indicator of the amount of flows that has to be allowed into the river. And a river is ranged from A to F. And that's based on these indicators like the integrity of the habitat, what of vegetation you have there, what are the fish species and the invertebrates, and what the geomorphological peculiarity of the river and the water quality. These are actually, according to me, more aspects have to be added to this. But here, there are two aspects in this, because a river in A class means it's a pristine river with good habitat integrity and everything is in a good condition, so you need actually more environment flows for it and less of management. And as a river goes from A to F, it requires more management, more restoration. In government language, means low inflows. So what has happened in Lohit Basin? Look at the contradiction. Lohit Basin, when the CIA was conducted, it is put into the environment ecological management class of C. But we know now Lohit is not a dam river; it's a pristine river, and you are putting it under the class C. Actually, it should be put under class A. And when it is put under class A, automatically you need more flows. Because it's put into the class C, deliberately, it doesn't need that much flows. So this is something which, many of us have been dealing with the Lohit Basin CIA, but are we looking at it in that point of view? So automatically, we ourselves are consenting, building our own concerns that this much flows is enough for the river.